When you were younger, do you remember getting in trouble with your parents? Do you remember when you'd done the wrong thing and your folks had something to say about it? A time that sticks in my head was one evening after dinner, we were watching TV together, and for some reason, I have no idea why, I stuck out my leg and tried to trip one of my sisters. As I said, got no idea what came over me, but what I do remember is what happened next. Mum and Dad were not happy. They had something to say about it. Their words made it very clear that I'd done the wrong thing. And why do their words stick in my head? Because they were the boss. Because they spoke with authority. When they were talking, I had to listen. And this wasn't just the case when I was in trouble. I'd like to think that usually, whenever they spoke, I listened. Maybe they were helping me with my homework. Maybe they were telling me that dinner's ready. Maybe they were just telling me that they loved me and cared for me. Whenever they spoke, I listened. Now, I'm not saying I always listened perfectly. Of course, there were times when I ignored them, times when I refused to listen, when I just didn't want to hear what they had to say, when I was distracted, when I was busy. But in general, I listened. Why? Well, it's a couple of things, isn't it? One, they had authority. They could send me to my room if I did the wrong thing, and they did many a time. But as well as that, they had authority. As well as that, sorry, they loved me and cared for me. What they said was good for me to listen to. This morning, we're thinking about the Bible. And as we go, we're going to see that reading the Bible is a little bit like listening to your parents. Now, in one sense, every week we think about the Bible, don't we? Every week we have a Bible reading and then Steve or someone else gets up and explains to us what that part of the Bible means. It's the centre, the focus of our time together. But this week is a little different. Instead of looking at one specific part of the Bible, we're thinking about the Bible as a whole. What is it? Why do we read it each week? This is actually the fourth sermon in our Back to Basics series. Back at Easter, we looked at atonement and resurrection. Last week, I wasn't here, but you looked at the Trinity. And this week, it's the Bible. And to help us through it, we've got three main questions we're going to ask. These are what's printed in your notice sheets. We're going to ask, what is it? Where did it come from? And what's its purpose? What is the Bible? Where did it come from? How did we get it? And what's its purpose? And to help us answer these questions, we've actually had two readings from the Bible this morning. We've had Psalm 119 and 2 Timothy 3. We'll get to 2 Timothy 3 a bit later. I just want to make a quick comment about Psalm 119. It's a fantastic psalm. It's actually the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible. It's 176 verses all about God's word. Now, we don't have time to read all 176 of those verses, but as we go, we'll see a little bit about what the psalmist says. And something that's really helpful to know is that he uses a bunch of words to all talk about the same thing. You might have heard law, testimony, precept, statute, commandments, ordinances, decrees, word. They all mean the same thing, scripture, God's word to us. So when in verse 1, the psalmist says, blessed are those that walk according to the law of the Lord, don't just think Old Testament law. Think blessed are those who walk according to all that God says to us, according to all of scripture, according to the Bible. Does that make sense? So as we go, as we look at Psalm 119, remember that it's got these many words that are talking about scripture. Don't be concerned exactly which one he uses where. They're all meaning the same thing. I hope that makes sense. And a second quick introductory comment. Now that I'm studying at QTC, I need to reference. In all my assignments, I need to write down the books that I look at and where I've taken ideas from people. So in that spirit, I thought you might like to know that I've taken quite a bit of stuff today from a book called Know the Truth by Bruce Milne. It's a really easy-to-read introduction to Christian theology. So if you've got more questions from today about the nature of Scripture, or maybe any of the other topics that we've looked at, or some topics we haven't looked at, then it's a great place to start. I forgot to bring my copy this morning, but if you'd like to get hold of that book, feel free to talk to me. All right, enough introduction. What is the Bible? What is this book? I'm going to start with a statement. I'm going to start with a definition, and then I'm going to come back and back it up. The Bible is God's word to us. The Bible is God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything, the creator of us, speaking to us. Just like our parents, who in some sense brought us into the world, God, the creator of the universe, the creator of us, speaks to us in the Bible. Now, this may seem like a really simple thing to say, but when we think about it, it's actually profound. The fact that God has chosen to reveal himself to us, the fact that he's chosen to speak to us is amazing. The fact that he's chosen to speak to us clearly, to reveal who he is just fantastic. The psalmist puts it this way. It should be on the screen. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Do you stand in awe of God's word today? So the Bible, it's God's word. But how do we know this? How can I make this claim? Well, the Bible itself tells us. It consistently claims to be the word of God. We can see this in one place in our 2 Timothy reading. Scripture is God-breathed. We'll come back to how that works in our second point. But for now, just see the statement. Scripture is God-breathed. It's from God. It's the word of God. Now, there are other places in the Bible as well that tell us this. In Mark 7:13, Jesus refers to the scriptures as God's word. Throughout the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, we keep reading, and the Lord spoke to Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and the Lord spoke to Moses. And there are many other places we can look. Scripture claims to be God's word to us. Now, some of you might be thinking there's some circular logic here. The Bible says it's God's word, so we accept it as God's word, so we believe it when it says it's God's word. Do you see the circle? So some people ask for external evidence. They say, prove to me that the Bible is God's word. They want another source to confirm that the Bible is the word of God. Have you ever wondered that? It's a good question. But I want to suggest today that the fact that the Bible claims to be God's word is actually what we should expect. Let's do a really simple thought experiment. Let's say that there is another book out there that can prove the Bible. Let's call it Book X. If I could go to Book X and read that the Bible is God's word, I would, hang on a minute, I would just keep reading Book X, wouldn't I? I wouldn't need the Bible because I'd have a higher authority. But then I need to work out what gives Book X its authority. And on we would go. Do you see the problem here? If we're always looking for a higher authority, then we'll never get anywhere. If the Bible is God's word, if it is the highest authority, then it's entirely logical and reasonable that that's what it claims to be. Does that make sense? I don't think we should expect another source that proves the Bible. The fact that the Bible claims to be God's word, and it does it consistently and in a variety of different ways, actually gives it credibility. The question is, do we trust it? The Bible claims to be God's word to us. That's a reasonable thing for it to do. The question is, do we trust it? Now, there's many different ways that we can tackle that question. Today, I want to divide and conquer and give you two really simple thoughts. For the Old Testament, we can trust it because Jesus trusted it. Jesus, who proved himself to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, he trusted the Old Testament, and so can we. We already saw this in Mark 7:13, so the scripture I referenced earlier, Jesus is actually talking about the Old Testament when he tells the Pharisees they're nullifying the word of God. Jesus saw the Old Testament as the word of God. And just a bit later in Mark, Mark 12:36, Jesus says that David was speaking by the Holy Spirit when he wrote the Psalms. There are numerous places we can look to see Jesus accepting Old Testament history as true, and we could go on with more evidence. Jesus accepted the Old Testament, and I propose that that means we can as well. And for the New Testament, we can trust it because it has apostolic authority. That's just a fancy way of saying the people who wrote the New Testament had the authority of the apostles, the authority of people who knew Jesus. Consider Paul's letters. He often starts with the phrase, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, or similar. It's a stamp of authority. Paul's saying, you can trust me. We don't have time to look at every single book and the arguments for it. But there's two really simple ideas that show us that we can trust the New Testament. We can trust the Bible. All right. So the Bible, it's God's word. It consistently claims to be God's word, and there are good reasons to accept it. But where did it come from? We've already talked, we've seen in 2 Timothy how it's God-breathed, how it's from God. But what does this mean? Well, the books of the Bible were written by human authors to specific situations. We can see that in the different genres, can't we? Scripture has narrative, law, poetry, prophecy, lament, songs, letters, apocalyptic literature, and on and on. The precise way in which God inspired each book is different. Let's look at a few examples to help us get the picture. Turn with me to Luke 1, 1 to 4. It should be on the screen. Excellent. Luke 1, 1 to 4. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Can you see what Luke is telling us about why he and how he wrote his book? He carefully investigated everything about the life of Jesus, and now he's writing an orderly account. It's not like Luke fell into a trance and wrote his gospel in a couple of hours. It's his work, written for Theophilus and the early churches, to give them certainty about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And yet, at the same time, it's God's inspired word to us. Through Luke, God speaks to us. This is both Luke's word to Theophilus and God's word to us. And this is the mystery, the brilliance of God's inspired word, the Bible. Or again, let's think about Paul's letters. He wrote them to teach, to rebuke, and to encourage churches that were across the known world at the time. They were written for that time and that place and that purpose. And yet they're written for us. They're God's word to all time, to us today. Through Paul's word 2,000 years ago, God speaks to us. Some Old Testament examples. Think of the book of Psalms. In Psalms we have many records of David pouring out his heart to God in prayer, in praise, in sorrow, in lament, in fear, in frustration, and any other emotion you can think of. These are at the same time the thoughts of David and God's word to us. Or, last example, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 verse 9 tells us that the Lord put words in his mouth. I don't know exactly how that works, but somehow God spoke to Jeremiah, told him what to say. And so Jeremiah wrote to Judah, God's people who were rejecting God at that time. These were God's words to a specific people in a specific time, in a specific place. And yet, they're God's word to us today. We don't have time, again, to look at all the different books in the Bible and think about how they were inspired. But do you get a feel for how it works? In his wisdom, God has worked through human authors in a specific time and place to speak to us today. All right. So the Bible is God's word. It consistently claims to be God's word, and there are good reasons to accept it. It was inspired by human authors, written in their time and their place, but it's written for us. So what's its purpose? What is the Bible all about? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul reminds Timothy that the Bible is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible is all about. That's its primary goal, its primary purpose, making us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. So the Bible's purpose is to show us that we were created by God to be in loving relationship with him. But just like Adam and Eve, we rejected God, didn't we? We ignored him. We didn't want him as king of our lives. We didn't want to follow him. We spat in his face. And so our relationship was broken. But the Bible doesn't end there, does it? It shows us God's grand plan to restore our relationship with him, to redeem us, to save us. The promises to Abraham through which the whole world would be blessed, that was how God is going to save us. The Bible shows us how these promises were fulfilled, partially through the kingdom of Israel, through God's people in the Old Testament, and then ultimately through Jesus. The Bible's purpose is to show us that by trusting in Jesus, we can be in a loving relationship with God. Now, you might be thinking, I'm stating the obvious, but this is actually really important. Because when we start to think that the Bible has other purposes, we run into all sorts of problems. When we start to think of the Bible as mainly a history book or a science book, then things get difficult. Because we can start to spend ages poring over historical details, wondering how they match up with other parts of the Bible and other sources. We can write pages and pages about how certain accounts were scientifically possible, but that's not the point. Sure, the Bible contains history and science, but that's not its primary purpose. The aim of the Bible is to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is more than just head knowledge. It's not like the Bible's just trying to give us a secret code, a password. Because trusting Jesus is more than just head knowledge, isn't it? We don't just know our trust in Jesus. We live it. Trusting in Jesus for our salvation, it's a whole of life thing, isn't it? It involves every part of our life. The purpose of the Bible isn't just to tell us to trust Jesus. It's to show us. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible's purpose is to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to train us to live out our trust in Jesus so that we're equipped for every good work. And sometimes this is going to be painful, isn't it? Just like when I was in trouble with Mum and Dad, I didn't want to hear what they had to say. I didn't want to be told that I'd done the wrong thing, that I needed to say sorry, that I needed to change my behaviour. But that's what I needed to hear, wasn't it? I needed to be told that I wasn't living the way that they wanted me to live. They spoke as loving parents who wanted the best for me. And it's the same with God. When God through his word rebukes us, corrects us, trains us, it's often painful. At times God's word will cut to the heart. They'll cut to our deepest sin, our deepest desires, our deepest longings. If we're truly reading the Bible, at times it's going to hurt. But we need to remember that this is God speaking to us as a loving Heavenly Father. He speaks with authority, yes, but just like our parents, with tenderness and compassion. So, God's word makes us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is more than just head knowledge. The Bible trains us to live as God's people. So what's the so what? Where does this leave us? Well, we need to listen and obey. Remember what the psalmist said? Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. As people who have been made wise for salvation, we need to listen and obey. And this is the same whether we've been a Christian for an hour, a week, or 50 years. We need to keep trusting Jesus with our whole life. Because just like our parents when we were younger, God does speak with authority. This is God, the creator of the universe, of all that is seen and unseen, speaking to us. Our folks, they could send us to our room. God will judge. And it'll be worse than being sent to our room. But that said, I'm not talking about turning the Bible into a rule book. I'm not talking about making a tick sheet of all that it says to do, because that's not how it works. When we read the Bible, when we come face to face with God and his word, our first response is to turn to Christ, to trust him for our salvation. That's what God's word is all about, making us wise for salvation through faith in Christ. And once we've done that, Scripture helps us to live out that trust in all the areas of our life. Do you see the difference? It's not a rule book. It's showing us what it means to have a living faith in Jesus. So don't think of the Bible as a burden. The fact that God has shown us how to live as his people is amazing. As the psalmist says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I hope and pray that that's you this morning, that you do delight in God's word, that you can see the majesty, the beauty of Scripture. So don't leave here thinking of it as a burden. God does speak with authority, sure, but he speaks words of light, of life, of salvation. He speaks to us as a loving father with tenderness and compassion. Let's be people who listen. Let's be people who obey. Please join with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have chosen to speak to us, that you haven't left us in darkness, but that you've revealed yourself to us. And thank you that you speak to us as our Heavenly Father with tenderness and compassion. Father, help us to read your word. Help us to listen to you. Father, through your Spirit, help us to live the way that you have called us to live. May we be people who listen to your word and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.